Well, good morning. Good morning. Getting better. I thought Chris's song would have woken you up and put you to sleep. Though it can make one introspective. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35. In Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting with the 35th verse, it reads, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. Then he saw Jesus passing by. He said, 'Look, the Lamb of God!' And when his two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and they saw where he was staying, and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of two who heard that John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ, and brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter, which means rock. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here is a true Israelite. In him there is nothing false.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that.' He then added, 'I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your blessings this day. Lord, we thank you for your word, which we read here. We ask now, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scripture and give us understanding. Lord, I ask for anointing and empowerment by your selfsame Spirit, that I would speak through that empowerment and not out of myself. Lord, might your truth come forward and the truth of man be washed away. Father, we give you this time this day. We ask that you would help us to set aside our cares and concerns. Might we give you our full attention. Might we come and see what you have for us this day. And it is in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Come and see is the title of what I've done today. It is the recurring phrase that we find in this passage. It's the recurring message, even in those phrases that are used that don't use "come and see." John the Baptist starts off with, "Look, the Lamb of God," which is basically a, "Come here, look at this, come and see." Come and see. Why was John the Baptist telling his disciples to go and look at that man Jesus? Why? First, he was excited. How many of you have ever gotten excited about something that you saw and you called up somebody on the phone and said, oh, there's steaks over at Mike's. Those T-bones that you like, 10 pounds for $25. I got a phone call like that this week. I was excited. It was good news. You're telling me none of you have ever made a phone call like that, received a phone call like that? You found a good deal on something? You found something you're excited about? You called them up? When the baby was born, how many of you have had a baby? How many of you have been a baby? Okay, pay attention. Okay? When a baby is born, what's the first thing the proud papa does? Oh, come on down and see. Come and see. That's what we do when we're excited. Happy excited. This is neat. This is good. This is something I want to share with other people. And that's what John was doing. He's getting excited. And he's telling his disciples, his students, this is the guy. And his students, being good students, say, okay, teach, you say that's the guy? We'll go follow him. We'll leave you. But that's... You know, we don't hear that from John saying, but that's not what I meant. He was like, yes. He was excited because Jesus was who he was. Who was he? He's the one whom God had told him, the one whom you see the Holy Spirit come down in the form like a dove on. That's the guy. That is the Christ, the Messiah. Now, remember, they were all eagerly awaiting the Messiah because they thought the Messiah would come and restore Israel to its proper position, political power, mighty army. Nobody's going to push them around anymore. The people of God's favor. That's what they were looking for. God had a little different idea. This isn't the first time people got confused about what God meant when he said, I'm going to bring your Redeemer. I'm going to save you. How did he save the people who were imprisoned in Israel or in Egypt? He had them wander around in the desert for 40 years. Doesn't sound like much of an escape plan to me. I mean, if I came to you and I said, you know what? You're having tough times here. I'm going to take you. I'm going to put you out in the desert for 40 years. You'd say, thank you very much. I'll stay here. And you know what? The Jewish people would have said, thank you very much. We'll stay here. They tried to do that a couple of times. Why can't we go back? Well, because God's plan was different. God's Messiah is different. He wasn't about political power. He wasn't about redemption of just the people of Israel. He was there for all people of all nations so that they could be redeemed not from another nation, slavery to another nation or another people group, but that they could be redeemed from slavery to sin. Now, if this is not something to get excited about, John shouldn't have been eating his grasshoppers. Okay, that's what he was talking about. This is the guy who's coming. And he was excited. And then when the disciples, they met Jesus, and they talked with him, they talked with him all day long. The 10th hour doesn't mean 10 o'clock in the morning. This wasn't like they met him at 9 o'clock and they talked till 10. The 10th hour, the Jewish day started at sunrise. So 10 hours later. That's a little bit later in the day now. Maybe 6 o'clock. Now, here he is, talking with these people. Jesus, who, first off, come up with a really lame excuse for why they're following. Oh, we just want to see where you're living. We want to see your house. These guys don't come across as the brightest bulbs on the block to start with here. I mean, then his two disciples heard him say this. They followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" "Oh, Rabbi, where are you staying?" That's not what they wanted. They wanted to spend time with Jesus. They wanted to talk to him. And when they got done spending time with Jesus, you know what their response was? "Come and see!" Because Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, one who was one of the two who heard what John had said, and who would follow Jesus, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." He said, "Come and see what I found, bro." He did. He went to his brother and he said, "Come and check this out." Because he was excited because he found something special. He found the Messiah. Now, he still didn't have a clue as to really what that meant. But he recognized who he was. He recognized Jesus for who he was. And that alone was cause for excitement. We see the same scenario when the next day Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, when Jesus said, "Follow me," instead of Philip, like the normal person, saying, "Okay," and getting in line and start walking down the road with Jesus, he said, oh, "I got to go get my brother." He ran back, told his brother, went and told Nathanael, said, "Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote." He was so excited about following Jesus that he ran and got somebody else. And he said, "Come and see." Because they said, "Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth?" Referring to where Jesus was known to have lived. And Philip's response was, "Come and see. Come and see if he's not good." People, it was only a month ago that we had 40 people lined up front here to get prayer because they wanted, each one of you wanted to have your hearts, the fire of the heart of your altar, reignited with a passion for Christ. What we're seeing here is an exhibit of that passion. What is the first action that these passionate new believers in Jesus did was come and see. What were they saying come and see to? They're saying, "Come and see what I'm doing. Come and see my ministry." No, they're saying, "Come and see the Messiah. Come and see Jesus." That same message is the same message that we run around with today, or we're supposed to be running around with. Come and see. Now, when our hearts grow cold and it's no longer exciting, you know, maybe I'm tired of steak. Yeah, right. But this is a hypothetical example. I get tired of steak, and I don't care that it's not steak. Somebody calls me up and says, "Don't bother me." Or, "I see a good deal." I don't call somebody else. Say, "This is a really good deal. I've grown cold on it." Sometimes that can happen from overexposure to it. That's one of the reasons why we want to keep non-Christian contacts. You know what? If all you do is hang out with Christians, You forget how good Jesus really is. Talk to some people who aren't Christians sometime, and you say, how can you get through life believing what you believe? You know, you can say, you know, I've got something great over here. Now, then you start getting excited about it again because you see the other side. But when all you do is you hang around with nothing but Christians. Now, you need to hang out with other Christians. Don't get me wrong. It's the passion of us all being together, which can quite often keep the fire going. But we still need that excitement, the newness, and recognizing, come and see attitude. Jesus told these disciples to come and see what he was going to do. John the Baptist told these people, come and see what Jesus is going to do. And then each of these disciples, these guys, they said to their friends, come and see. And what they are, each one, the object of their sight was the one who was going to be on that cross. Now we can be quiet. We can be proper. We can be reserved and not get excited about the good news of Jesus Christ and the fact that he has saved us each one from sin. And we can be properly reverent about such a thing. But sometimes we can be too proper, too reverent, too low-key. This requires passion. This is not something to say, oh, that was neat. It's something to actually holler from the rooftops, call up your friends, you say, come and see. You grab them by the hand, you drag them on down to church, and you say, you got to see Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, just as the disciples were grabbing their friends by the hand and dragging them into the very presence of Jesus, you can do the exact same thing today. You can grab them by the hand and lead them into the very presence of Jesus Christ because you know what? He ain't dead. He is not dead. He's alive. This is exciting news. Now, I don't think anybody here finds this as a news flash. You've all heard it before. But are you excited about it? Are you telling other people, come and see Jesus? Are you? If you are, you're being awful quiet about it. Let's make some noise. Let's invite our friends, our neighbors, our family, the in-laws, the outlaws, our closest friends, our dearest enemies. Anybody here have dearest enemies? Yeah. You know what? Tell them, come and see. Come and see Jesus. Because you can still introduce them to him. And they can have that one-on-one, face-to-face, life-changing encounter. That's what the Great Commission boils down to. Is an invitation. Come and see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would give us each one here renewed passion to come and see. To come and see you this day ourselves, and then to invite others to come and see. to come and see not our church, to come and see not our pastor, to come and see not our ministry, to come and see not the new painting or artwork, but Lord, to come and see You. Lord, we've gotten excited about all those things. We've called people to come and see our new car. We've called people to come and see our new lawnmower, our new fishing rod, our new book. But Father, we've not calling people and saying, come and see our Lord who will make your life new. So Father, we ask that You would reignite that spark as we prayed a month ago. Lord, may we say to our acquaintances, those whom we encounter on the road of life, come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Christ. And might we lead them into Your very presence, Lord. Might they know Your love too. In Jesus' name, amen.